O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. So there are different things in this verse here. What does he do very soon? Very soon, Krishna says he becomes righteous. What does that mean, that he becomes righteous very soon?
Fixed.
He becomes fixed in devotional service. He will not fall down again. Krishna has used the two different words here. In the previous verse, he used the word sadur eva samantavya. You should always consider him saintly. And here, he is using the word dharmatma. So that these are two different things.
Develop
saintly qualities. What else does it mean, dharmatma? Okay, so Prema Tarangini means dharmatma means that he strictly follows the religious principles, and she says the principles of devotional service. And because he follows these principles of devotional service, then he rectifies himself. There is more to the meaning of this dharmatma, yes?
He doesn't commit sin anymore.
This is what is a dharmatma. A dharmatma, Prabhupada says, is righteous, a righteous person. Because what is the problem? He was doing his devotional service and then suddenly was overwhelmed by the sinful activity and he committed some abominable action. What is abominable action? One type of abominable action, it may be, okay, if somebody stops chanting his rounds, that's, in one sense, that's topmost abominable, but really abominable usually means that you commit some sin. He gets involved with something which is adharmic, and by the pushing of the sinful mentality from previous life. So this is the fall. This is the thing that the person gets into. Because one kind of fall is to stop following the principles of Bhakti Yoga. So this is a fall from the principles of Bhakti Yoga. But usually what happens after this, if you don't follow any more Bhakti, then there is a good chance that you will get involved in sinful activities because you won't be able to sustain yourself, especially in this age. We are not very dharmic. We usually can't sustain a very pious life without being rooted in Krishna Bhakti. So he commits sinful activities. And what happens is that if the person continues to practice devotional service, then very soon it is rectified. He stops engaging in non-devotional activities. And if there was any discrepancy in his practice of bhakti, that is also gradually rectified. So he becomes righteous. So there are two sides of our existence. There is the soul, who is a devotee, and then there is the whole covering, the conditioning. So on one hand, the person remains dedicated to God, and on the other hand, he returns to a religious type of behavior, moral type of behavior without any connection with sinful activity. And then the third thing that Krishna says is that he attains
lasting peace.
So what does that mean, that he attains lasting peace? Yes, very good. His mind is no longer disturbed. So there are two things. This Shashvat Chanti may mean that he attains the spiritual platform. He becomes fixed in the spiritual platform. So this is Shashvat Chanti. It means it's a everlasting peace in the sense it's spiritual peace. And on the other hand, because, and on the other hand, his mind is no longer disturbed. Why did he fall? Because the mind became disturbed by some, agitated by some previous sanskaras. But that stops. And again, his mind becomes peaceful. So these are the ups and downs in general of the life of a devotee, and especially a devotee who is not of a very high caliber. When a devotee becomes very, very advanced, then there is no more this kind of disturbance from previous sinful reactions. Now, how does this happen? How does it happen that he becomes righteous and attains lasting peace? Because he remains engaged in devotional service, and this devotional service itself is a purifying process. So he becomes purified. It is usually believed in regular society that when one commits sin, unless one takes up some specific kind of atonement, in the Vedas they call that prayaschitta, you have to do something to atone, to counteract, you have to do something else, some other procedures, some other rituals. But for the devotee there is no need, there is never any need. We should not fear the sinful reaction. If it comes, it comes. If it doesn't come, fine. Krishna will take care of the sinful reaction some way or the other. We should not fear that. And we should concentrate on devotional service, because this is the most powerful type of prayaschitta. Especially remembrance of Krishna is the most powerful type of prayaschitta. So this is actually part of the process which we call anartha nivritti. Right? This is what Krishna is talking about here. The anarthas are getting destroyed, and sometimes the anarthas take over and there is some disturbance in our life. So, and in that sense, Krishna explains that this person is to be considered pure. Why is to be considered pure? You know, it's Prabhupada gave us many times this example of the clothes in the washing machine. He used to give Prabhupada saw the washing machines in America. So he said that the devotees are like people, clothes in a washing machine. So when you see the clothes in the washing machine, it's going round. So the question is it clean or is it dirty? Is it clean or is it dirty? When we put it in the machine, it was dirty. And when we will take it out, it will be completely clean. And while it is in the machine, while we are practicing Krishna consciousness, you can't say it's not clean, because it's not dirty, because the cleansing has already begun. But it's not finished, so it's not completely clean. But the element of cleanliness, the purity, it has already started. So this is how a devotee is also not considered polluted. Because by practicing this purifying process, the purity is already there. Just we have to continue, and it will increase until there is no more trace of sinful activity. So Prabhupada explains what is to be done, what is the main activity that a devotee should continue to perform in case of trouble is chanting. And remember, why chanting? Because chanting brings remembrance. And because remembrance is the goal of bhakti. And because remembrance is the most powerful means of purification. When we think of Krishna within, when the consciousness becomes fixed on Krishna, his form, his person, and the mood of service to him, this is a super fast cleansing process. So Prabhupada says, therefore the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, should be continued without stoppage. This will protect the devotee from all accidental fall downs. He will thus remain perpetually free from all material contaminations. So if there are problems, keep chanting. It will nullify the problems. It will cleanse the heart so that problems do not come again. And it will also protect. It will act, we heard that before, it will act as an antidote, as a vaccine. You remember? There was analogy of the vaccine. If we always chant, we will be protected even from fall. Now something interesting Srila Prabhupada says in this purport here in the beginning. He says, yesterday we discussed that the fall down, you know, should be unintentional. If the fall down is unintentional, then there is immediate rectification. Krishna immediately helps us, protects us, and so on. But in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada, who is very merciful, he says, how can a person engage in abominable activities, either by accident or by intention, be a pure devotee? So Prabhupada even includes here, if somebody somehow or other intentionally, knowing well, somehow commits a sinful activity, so naturally this is not to be done. But Prabhupada means here that this process of devotion is so, so powerful, and surrender to Krishna is so life-changing, that even if there is someone who is really crooked and who engages in sinful activity, is a devotee, and at the same time, due to heavy covering of ignorance, engages voluntarily, willingly, with premeditation in some sinful activity, if after some time, somehow or other, he gets the light and engages in devotional service, so even this kind of sins can be burnt. But we should be very wary of this kind of activity, because, of course, it's not going to be exactly the same case as one who unintentionally committed a sin. However, there is hope for everyone. Then Krishna says, Kaunteya Pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Arjun requests Arjun to declare this truth. He said, go everywhere. Go everywhere and declare this. What is to be declared? My devotee never perishes. He is ever under my protection. No one can do anything to him. And especially no one can take away bhakti from him. No one can take him away from him. He's mine, and he's under my protection. And you should go and you should propagate this everywhere. Why did he tell Arjun that you go and tell that everywhere? The Acharyas explained that sometimes Krishna himself, he lies. Or, not that he lies, but he may break his promise. He may break his promise, again, in relationship to his devotees. You know, like he did on the battlefield. He promised, I shall not fight. It's my army on one side, me on the other side, who will not fight. I will not take up weapon. But in the middle of the battle, somehow or other, Arjun was threatened. He was so threatened, just threatened to death. So Krishna jumped off the chariot, picked up the wheel, and started wheeling it at Bhishma, who was very happy. He broke his promise. So this is what Krishna does sometimes, you know, because why can he do that, Krishna? Because he's not bound. He's independent. He's not bound by anything except by the love of his devotees. And in many ways he keeps this promise here that my devotee shall never... He has his priorities in his promises. He has different priorities. So this is a topmost priority here, that I shall protect my devotee. And for to protect my devotee, I'm ready to even appear like a liar. I can lie to protect my devotee. So therefore, he says, if I... And this is a matter which is too important here. Because there are so many other things that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, we could say, well, he's a liar. How can we believe it? It's not just this. He says so many things in the Bhagavad Gita. But this is a matter, a very important matter. Because this is a very intimate point of relationship with his devotee. And we should not fear taking up devotional service. And we should be fully confident in devotional service. 100% we should have faith that Krishna is not going to change his mind. You know. And so therefore in that case, which is of uttermost importance to us, where we really need to know that Krishna will take care of me, he will protect me, so that there is no doubt at all in the heart of his devotee, then Krishna gets Arjun to speak. He gets Arjun to speak and to promise, to make this promise on his behalf. Because it is very well known that Krishna may break his own word, but Krishna will always ensure that his devotee, when his devotee promises something, that will not get broken. This he will back up. He will back up his devotee. He may lie. He may not back up himself, but he will back up his devotee. So it is absolutely sure. That way the devotee feels secure to actually surrender to Krishna. This is explained by Srila Prabhupada somewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.29. This is in relationship to Prahlad. Prabhupada says, when Prahlad's mother, Hiranyakashipu's wife, Kayadhu, was under the protection of Narada, you know, when she was pregnant, she escaped. Why she escaped? Because the demigods wanted to kill. They wanted to kill her because they were afraid of... Hiranyakashipu was already such a huge demon. And now he was going to have a son. And usually, like father, like son. So they were very scared. And in their fear, they were ready to kill the mother, the child. So at that time, Narada Muni took away Kayadhu while Hiranyakashipu was doing austerities. He took her away to protect her. So while she was under the protection of Narada, she prayed for the protection of her son from the enemy. And Narada Muni gave assurance that Prahlad Maharaj would always be saved from the enemy's hand. So here we see Narada Muni, he promised, yes, your son will, I promise you. And she believed him because he's a very saintly person. Thus, when Hiranyakashipu was going to kill Prahlad, the Lord saved Prahlad to fulfill his promise in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada said. Kanteya prajijanihi name bhakta pranashati. And to prove true the words of Narada. The Lord can fulfill many purposes through one action. Thus the killing of Hiranyakashipu and the saving of Prahlad were enacted simultaneously to prove the truthfulness of the Lord's devotee and the fidelity of the Lord himself to his own purpose. The Lord acts only to satisfy the desires of his devotees. Otherwise, he has nothing to do. So when the devotee desires something, promises something, then this is the work of the Lord. He has no other work but to fulfill the desires of his devotees. Natasya karyam karanam na vidyate. The Lord has nothing to do personally, for everything is done through his different potencies. The Lord has multifarious energies through which everything is done. Thus, when he personally does something, it is only to satisfy his devotee. The Lord is known as Bhakta Vatsala because he very much favors his devoted servant. So this is what happened here. And then, what else we understand from this? Name Bhakta Pranashyati. This is what Krishna has said, that my devotee will never perish. So this is also to enthuse, as we said, the devotees, that we should not fear. We should not fear anything. That Krishna is our protector. He will protect us from our sinful reactions. He will protect us from adversity. We should be sure that his protection is guaranteed. This is important to us because we are afraid to take up this path. Just serve him and he will do everything for us. Prabhupada explains, because a devotee fully depends on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is always sure of protection by the Lord. A devotee is never fearful of his death, for he meditates on the Supreme Lord always, not for any material profit, but as his duty. The Lord, however, knows how to protect his devotee. So here it says that this is a story in relationship to Ambarish Maharaj, that I'm reading, that the Lord protected him with his chakra. Mm-hmm. And Prabhupada says that the Lord, he knows everything from before. So even before anything happens to a devotee, he has already planned the protection. This protection, then it says, this protection is offered to a devotee even from the beginning of his devotional service, because sometimes the devotees say, only the pure devotees are protected and we have to have a life insurance. So this protection is offered to a devotee even from the very beginning of his devotional service. If one simply begins devotional service, he is immediately protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Aham tvam sarva pape bhyo mokshayishyami. Protection begins immediately from the time of surrender. The Lord is so kind and merciful that he gives the devotee proper guidance and all protection. And thus the devotee very peacefully makes solid progress in Krishna consciousness without outward disturbances. Then Prabhupada gives an example. A serpent may be very angry and ready to bite, but the furious snake is helpless when faced by a blazing fire in the forest. Snake is very angry, and suddenly the fire catches in the forest, he's finished. He has no legs to run. You know? He said the first people who are, who can't escape from the forest is the snakes. Everybody else has legs and wings, and they fly and they run and they go away. But the snakes, they cannot. But when you face a snake, he looks like he's the most proud and he's the most arrogant and he's the most dangerous. So Prabhupada said, it's the same. Although an enemy of a devotee may be very strong, he is compared to an angry serpent before the fire of devotional service. I can't sustain. So we should have faith in that. Of course, in many ways we may say, okay, this protection will be proportionate to our surrender. That is true, but let us surrender. Usually in times of trouble, we surrender fully. Therefore, we can get full protection. We surrender fully. I had this experience myself one time in my life of troubles. I was in a very bad condition in some place. I was in a terribly bad condition. That day I thought, that's it. I put myself into a situation that you can't get out, and I thought my last day had come. I thought, I'm going to die in this situation. It's finished. I can't call for anybody's help. I can't do anything. Anyway, I won't tell you all the details, but I was in a desert in Egypt, visiting some remote valley of the nobles. So, and I got caught up in some situation in which I thought, that's it. I will never see the light of the day anymore. I'm done. No need to shout. Nobody's around. And then I remembered Krishna. This was just before I became a full-time devotee. You know. And I remembered. Suddenly in my mind, you know, in that terrific situation, I just remembered. I said, oh, I heard. Yeah, this is what they told me in the temple. I heard that there is a God. This is what I thought. I heard that there is a God. And that He responds to the prayers and He helps those who call upon Him. So then I started addressing Krishna and I said, well, today's the day. There's not going to be any other day. I know there's not going to be any other day. It's either you exist and you come and you do something, you protect me. It's either that or there will not be another day. I won't be able to try again tomorrow. And I started praying, and because I had already gone through the temple, I knew that you should pray something bona fide. But my faith in Krishna was not fully established. So what I found is my mind went all the way back in my childhood to a Christian prayer that I had learned. Father who is in heaven, blah, 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 blah. And somehow I remembered all the words in French. That's how I had learned it. I remembered all the words and I started praying. I started repeating the prayer in such an intense mood that, quite amazingly, the situation which seemed to be totally desperate, suddenly, within a very short while, it just turned around completely, and I was able to somehow escape and return to normal life. And this was a proof that Krishna hears when we actually, and that day I couldn't be more in trouble. So I thought, my life is finished today, I'm going to get killed. So it's Krishna answers the prayers when they are actually, you know, given. And then after that, I jumped on the train and I was traveling, and instead of thinking, Prashanta, be smart. Make sure you don't get into such kind of trouble again. Go home, stay home, be happy, stop traveling. Instead of thinking this, I started thinking, now I can go anywhere. So that Krishna will protect us. So we should have this faith. It is very comforting to have this faith. Now, next we hear something even more about Krishna, more glories of Krishna. In 30 and 31, we heard how Krishna purifies his devotees who occasionally commit some sinful activities. But in 32, we hear how he even purifies the ones who are born sinful, the ones who are born in conditions which show that in previous lives they committed sins. So the symptoms of their birth reveals some sinful background. And even this kind of persons can be saved by Krishna Bhakti. So Krishna saves even the fallen. He saves the lowest, not only the pious and so on. We heard before that the sins should be eradicated for one to be actually able to worship Krishna. But Krishna is so merciful that he is ready to actually accept people. As soon as they surrender, there is no bar. So we'll read this verse here. Mam hi partha vyapashritya yebhishyo papayonayaha striyo vesyas tatha shudras tebhiyanti paramgatim. O son of Prita, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas, or merchants, and shudras, workers, can attain the supreme destination. So, Krishna is saying here, vyapashritya, those who take full shelter, Prabhupada explains in the end, as indicated here by the word vyapashritya, one has to take shelter completely of Krishna. So those who somehow or other take up this path of devotional service with great faith, so Krishna will treat them like anybody else. Anybody who comes is equal to everyone. Srila Prabhupada explains that everyone is eligible for bhakti. In fact, what is the eligibility for taking up devotional service?
Faith.
Faith. Yes, that's all. This is the eligibility to take up bhakti. There has to be some attraction and ultimately some faith. That's all. It doesn't matter else. Srila Prabhupada explains that socially there are lower and higher classes, but these different statuses do not disqualify anyone from taking up bhakti. In other words, there is no impediment due to varna or ashram, you can say. Any condition of life, one can take up the devotional service. It is not based on any material qualification. And in this case here, Krishna is talking of the lower classes. And what it means in this case is that somehow or other they have some sinful background, but their sinful activities cannot create obstacles in bhakti. So it may be difficult for them in some ways, but it cannot stop. It cannot stop them. So who are these people here? This verse is understood in different ways. Prabhupada translates, so it's papa yonaha, there are four words here. There's papa yonaha, Striya, Vaishyas, Tatha, Shudras. So, which can be taken, Prabhupada has retained Papa Yonayaha means who is born in sinful speechy, the Yoni, the Papa Yonis. Born in a sinful speechy. And Prabhupada seems to indicate that women, Vaishyas, and Shudras In the translation, in the purport, he takes it differently. So there are two ways to take that. One is that the stri, the vaishya, the shudra, they are the sinful species or the sinful birth, papa yoni. Another way to take that is to take it all the four of them. There is the stri, there is the vaishya, there is the shudra, and there is the papa yonaha. And all of them have some kind of sinful background. So stri, vaishya, shudra, this means the lower classes, particularly the vaishya and shudra, this is the lower classes of men out of the four classes. Krishna will deal with the two higher classes in the next verse, the kshatriyas, the brahmanas. And here we are dealing with vaishya and shudra, lower varnas, and we are dealing with the papa yonaha, which means even lower, Srila Prabhupada explains, even the lowest, who are called chandalas. In the Bhagavatam, we have a whole list of them. If you remember, Kirata, Hunandra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, Abhira, Shumbha, Yavana, Khasadaya, all of them, different tribes or types of people who do not follow Varnashram at all, and who do not, they are not devotees of the Lord at all. They are addicted, they have very low gunas, and they are addicted to sinful activities. So these are the papa yonis, usually, who are... So this is one way to understand, that these lower than Striya Vesha Sudra are all these lower classes who are usually categorized as outcast, the outcast. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is very merciful. He says the stri here means fallen women like prostitutes. Not just everybody. But in general, what is to understand is amongst all these four kinds of people, there is a covering of ignorance, which is the result of sin in previous life to one degree or the other. So we can easily see in general that this Papa Yona, they will be the most sinful. And the Vaishya usually are not seen as very sinful people. Usually Vaishyas are pious. But as we know, they have a mixture of passion and ignorance. And so this covering of ignorance is a proof that somehow or other there is some involvement in sinful life. And Shudra is a birth which is also covered with ignorance, with some sinful reactions. And amongst the women, it is always understood that somehow or other female birth indicates some kind of sinful past. And as Bhaktivinoda Thakur mercifully indicates, there are different kinds of women, and some are more have a more sinful background, and some have a less sinful background. So these are all these different types of people. But even they, if they surrender to Krishna, then they can attain tepiyanti param gatim. So what is the param gatim? One thing we can say, it's going back to Godhead, right? They can go back to Godhead. Not that they have to take birth again. They can attain the highest destination. So this is two meanings in this. One, param gatim also refers to devotional service. They can take up devotional service. That is param gatim. They can take up the supreme path. They are not, you remember, gati means destination and path. So they can take up the supreme path. There is no bar for them. But there was bar in karma. In karma, for doing all the yagyas, the karmas, all the papa yonaya, they cannot do that. Even the shudras are barred from certain types of sacrifices, and some path of that, even the path of jnana, usually You know, this is not for this. You take up the path of Gyan when you become a Brahmin. You can't take it up when you are a Vaishya, a Shudra. So there are limitations according to the material qualification for the other processes. But there is no limitation for bhakti. And besides that, param gatim also means going back to Godhead. That they can go back to Godhead. Sometimes because in the other processes, as we heard, you have to purify very gradually. The Shudra has to, you know, get rid of ignorance, then he takes birth qualified as a Vaishya, then he takes birth qualified as a Kshatriya, then finally becomes a Brahmin, then finally he can take sannyas, and finally he can go to the forest and do Ashtanga Yoga and do, you know. So it's a very long process. But in bhakti, it's not like this. One doesn't have to take birth again. One may have to take birth again because there is not enough bhakti, but not because one cannot perfect the bhakti in the present body. Any body is good, as provided it is a human body. And in special cases, as we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, some animals also go back to Godhead. But that's very rare. In general, it is amongst human species. Yes? Yes, yes, definitely. Yeah, it's part of this. The whole chapter is like this. Yeah, Prabhupada is preaching in the purport. So, there are some nice things that Prabhupada has said about these things. And the thing is, how do they become purified? What is this thing that purifies them? That's so different from the other processes. The connection with Krishna? It's the association of the pure devotee. It's the mercy of the pure devotee and the guidance of the pure devotee. Even though all these people, there are different things about these people. Number one, due to ignorance, they don't perceive things very clearly. Number two, they are not interested in spiritual life most of the time. But if somehow or other they become interested, then they can take. So it is their good luck when they take up. And by the mercy, Prabhupada says, devotional service and the guidance of a pure devotee are so strong that there is no discrimination between the lower and higher classes of men. Anyone can take to it. The most simple man, taking shelter of the pure devotee, can be purified by proper guidance. So if one just surrenders, one thing which is good with this, especially the Stri, the Shudra, is that they have a service attitude. They have the tendency to follow. They don't have the quality usually to lead, but they have the tendency to follow. So Prabhupada says they just have to find the right master. And if they somehow begin following the pure devotee, then their submissive nature is going to help them in the path, even though they may not have the intelligence and so on, or the power to do austerities and so on. Prabhupada says different things here. In the material world, when one accepts some particular type of service, he is required to possess some particular type of qualification also, right? When you go apply for some job, they ask you for your qualification. Without this, one is unfit for such service. But in the devotional service of the Lord, the only qualification required is surrender. Surrendering oneself is in one's own hand. If one likes, he can surrender immediately, without delay. And that begins his spiritual life. The bona fide representative of God is as good as God himself. The loving representative of the Lord is more kind and more easy to approach. A sinful soul, we heard that before, a sinful soul cannot approach the Lord directly. But such a sinful man can very easily approach a pure devotee of the Lord. And if one agrees to put himself under the guidance of such a devotee of the Lord, he can also understand the science of God and can also become like the transcendental pure devotee of the Lord and thus get his liberation back to Godhead, back home for eternal happiness. And Prabhupada gives, talking of the Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasha, Prabhupada will give an extraordinary example here. Even those who are constantly engaged in sinful acts are all corrigible to the standard of perfect human beings if they take shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Then he gives the example of Jesus Christ and Muhammad, two powerful devotees of the Lord who were born amongst those people. They were born there. Doesn't mean they were like that, but they were born there and they preached. They have done tremendous service on behalf of the Lord on the surface of the globe. They have transformed this very, very low class, very, you know, rough type of people into devotees. Then Prabhupada says, this is very nice. According to the cult of devotion, generally known as the Vaishnav cult, there is no bar against anyone's advancing in the matter of God realization. A Vaishnav is powerful enough to turn into a Vaishnava, even the Kirata, as above mentioned. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that by the Lord that there is no bar to becoming a devotee of the Lord. And by becoming a devotee, everyone is eligible to return home back to Godhead. The only qualification is that one takes shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord who has thorough knowledge in the transcendental science of Krishna. Anyone from any part of the world, this is also a verse which is the basis of the international preaching of ISKCON. You should understand this. Otherwise the smartas, they are against. They are against this preaching. Why did you? And then the point is that we will hear that. Listen what he says here. Anyone from any part of the world who becomes well conversant in the science of Krishna becomes a pure devotee and a spiritual master. Oh! You know, when Prabhupada started making sannyasis and gurus amongst the Westerners, many people in India, they didn't like it, and they still don't. And a spiritual master for the general mass of people and may reclaim them by purification of heart. Though a person be even the most sinful man, he can at once be purified by systematic contact with a pure Vaishnava. A Vaishnava, therefore, can accept a bona fide disciple from any part of the world without any consideration of caste and creed and promote him by regulative principles to the status of a pure Vaishnava who is transcendental to Brahminical culture. So meaning he didn't have to go through all these other purifications to finally become a Brahmin. No, he becomes qualified. There is no bodily disqualification of a devotee, just as there is no qualitative difference between the Ganges water and the filthy drain water when they are amalgamated. Right? That is why people even today take bath in the Ganga, even though there is like tons and gallons and of dirty water that merges into the Ganga. But once the drain is merged into the Ganga, it's all Ganga. So here he says, women, merchants and laborers are not very intelligent, and thus it is very difficult for them to understand the science of God or to be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. So Prabhupada explains some of the points which makes it difficult. Why is there this distinction? Because due to the covering of the layers of ignorance, the intelligence is a bit obscured. And they are more materialistic. And, of course, these are now these are general in things, but they are more materialistic, and less than them are the Kirata, Huna, Handra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, and others. But all of them can be delivered if they are properly engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. By engagement in the service of the Lord, the designative disqualifications are removed, and as pure souls, they become eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. Okay, now there is a very good one here. I want to read these quotes because this one is very interesting. Kunti appeared to be a woman. So women, generally, they are not interested. Listen to this one, it's a very funny one. So women, generally, they are not interested in spiritual matter. That is the fact. Therefore, if they are somehow or other interested, that is also accepted. Krishna says, Striyo Veshyas Tata Shudras Te Piyanti Param Gatim, Striyo Veshyas. These three names, why he has taken specifically. So women, they are not very much interested. Generally, maybe a special woman, but they are otherwise, they sometimes become devotee. Therefore Krishna says, Te Piyanti Param Gatim. As soon as they become devotees, they also promote it, but generally they are not interested. The Vaishyas, the mercantile men, they are interested after money. The women is interested after sense gratification. And Shudra means they are ignorant, rascals. Therefore he has mentioned these three names, Triyu, Vaishyas, Tata, Shudra. But even then, although they are not interested, even they become interested, te piyanti param gatim. Not that even though they become interested, they keep behind. No, with the equal force with others, they are also promoted. I like this quote. They are not interested, but sometimes they are interested. But in general, they are not interested. So we should understand the speciality of the souls. But this is the mercy of the spiritual master. Lord Krishna especially selected Arjuna for instruction in spiritual knowledge because Arjuna happened to be a great devotee and confidential friend, not because he was a Kshatriya. Similarly, great personalities also speak to the advanced, but Prabhupada takes it also that Arjuna was a Kshatriya. So he explained, great personalities speak to the advanced, not to the Shudras, Vaishyas, women, or unintelligent men. Sometimes it is very risky to give great philosophical instructions to ordinary people. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, need understand the mathematics here. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for the benefit of the fallen souls of Kali Yuga, has given us a very nice instrument, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Now Prabhupada explains how these people get elevated and how their ignorance goes and how their intelligence awakes. The general mass of people, although Shudras and less, can be purified by chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Then they can understand the exalted philosophical statements of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Our Krishna consciousness movement has therefore adopted the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for the general masses. So first give them the Maha Mantra. When people gradually become purified through the chanting, they are instructed in the lessons of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Materialistic people like Stri, Shudra and Dvija Bandhu cannot understand words of spiritual advancement. Yet, one can take shelter of a Vaishnava, for he knows the art of enlightening even Shudras in the highly elevated subject matter spoken in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is all by the mercy of the spiritual master, his guidance and following the process. Otherwise, there may be some disqualification. What else Srila Prabhupada says about this? Another meaning of this that Prabhupada thinks that socially there are lower and higher classes. So one meaning we saw is that it doesn't disqualify them to take to devotional service. Now there is another meaning, is that from the material point of view, there are higher and lower classes, but in devotional service, there is no distinction between the lower and higher classes of people. Prabhupada writes that in his purport. It is clearly declared here by the Supreme Lord that in devotional service, there is no distinction between the lower and higher classes of people. So Prabhupada explains this, how that when they come, they may be lower class, but after they practice and come to, and after they practice and become purified, because Prabhupada explained, te piyanti param gatim, they go to the supreme destination. That doesn't mean in their contaminated state they go to the supreme destination. It means they become purified from all their contamination and then they go. So Prabhupada explains, the word papa yonaya means born into a lower class. According to the Vedic system of classification, women, vaishyas and shudras belong to a lower social order. A low life means a life without Krishna consciousness. High and low positions in society are calculated by considering a person's Krishna consciousness or knowledge, or power to understand. A Brahmana is considered to be on the highest platform because he knows Brahman, the absolute truth. The second caste, the Kshatriya, also know Brahman, but not as well as the Brahmanas. The Vaishyas and Shudras do not clearly understand God consciousness, but if they take to Krishna consciousness by the mercy of Krishna and the spiritual master, they do not remain in the lower caste, papa yonayaha. It is clearly stated, tepi yanti param gatim. Unless one has attained the highest standard of life, one cannot return home back to Godhead. So they become purified. One may be a Shudra, Vaishya or woman, but if one is situated in the service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness, one should not be considered Stri, Shudra, Vaishya or lower than Shudra. Though a person may be born from a low-born family, if he is engaged in the Lord's service, he should never be considered to belong to a low-born family. The Padma Puran forbids Vikshate Jati Samyanat Sayati Narakam Dhuvam. A person goes to hell quickly when he considers a devotee of the Lord in terms of his birth. So this is where we understand the devotees, and also in the terms of the Varnashram system that the devotees follow, is that they act according to their qualities and engage their qualities in the service of Krishna. But it is dangerous to put on them designations, and it, particularly because it puts lower and higher and this and that, which are material designations, and these don't apply to devotees. Because higher and lower designation implies that they are sinful. But after taking to devotional service, they become purified. Krishna consciousness is a very simple process. One need only chant the holy names of the Lord and strictly follow the principles forbidding sinful activity. In this way, one can no longer be considered an untouchable, a vishayi, or a Shudra. So these are very important things to understand, because if we mess up with this, the preaching in the future, it will be hampered. It will be hampered. So this is in the same way that Srila Prabhupada awarded Brahminical initiation to people born in very low class families. He awarded sannyas. It's all on the basis of this, that bhakti transforms the qualities of man. And once it is transformed, it is transformed for good. There is no going back. Therefore they can worship the deity, therefore they can take sannyas, and so on. They become qualified. Paramgatim. They have achieved the highest destination. Text 33. Kim puna brahmana punya bhakta rajasaya tatha anityam asukham lokam imam prapya bhajasvamam. So here Krishna is talking of the higher classes. How much more this is so? What is so? Yeah, they have. If they take up, what is so? That if they surrender, they will achieve the higher destination. Now Krishna says, if the Shudras and the lower classes, by taking up devotional service, they go to the highest destination, what to speak of those who are already more or less purified, who are more pious? How much more this is so of the righteous brahmanas, the devotees, and the saintly kings? Therefore, having come to this temporary miserable world, engage in loving service to me. So the brahmana, who are punya, very righteous. Brahmana means that there is much more piety. There's hardly any sin there. I mean, there is still something, because the person has not gone back to Godhead. And there may be impersonalistic tendencies. There may be other things, but not heavy sinful reaction in store. So what is Krishna saying? So for the pious, for the higher classes, the kshatriyas, the brahmanas, and those who are already devotees and who are great devotees, there is no trace of a doubt that they will achieve success. Therefore, oh you Arjun, don't you see your good fortune? You are a kshatriya, you are pious. You take up to my devotional service. You serve me. You do what I want. What do I want?
Fight.
Not because you are a kshatriya, but because I want you to fight. Engage your quality in my service. Engage it. Serve me. And get out of here. If you just do it on the basis of your duty, so that is not exactly the same. But if you do it for me, it is devotional service and you will get out of here. Get out of this material condition. And you must, because anityam asukham lokam. Whether you are born in a high family or in a low family, this is the condition is the same for everyone in this world. Prabhupada says it is not habitable for any sane gentleman. You cannot avoid the misery of this world. So Prabhupada preaches in this verse, he says, Arjuna was born in a saintly royal family. To him also the Lord says, take to my devotional service and come quickly back to Godhead, back home. No one should remain in this temporary world full as it is with miseries. Everyone should attach himself to the bosom of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that he can be eternally happy. The devotional service of the Supreme Lord is the only process by which all problems of all classes of man can be solved. Everyone should therefore take to Krishna consciousness and make his life perfect. So this is, Prabhupada also takes this opportunity in the purport to say that, to just give a little kick to the Mayavadis, because we should not forget them. They can pop up at any time in any shloka. So Prabhupada said, this is the nature of the material world, again being described here, anityam asukham, which is the main, same as dukhalayam, dukhalayam and asukham, right? And ashashvatam and anityam. So this is exactly the same thing Krishna is explaining again, and Prabhupada takes this opportunity to say that it is temporary, not false. How did we explain this last time? It is temporary, but not false. We had an analogy, which was that of the rain. Oh, okay. In that sense, it's temporary. So sometimes it exists, sometimes it doesn't exist. We also had an analogy of the shadow. Remember? Which also, it exists under certain condition. But the main object, that exists always. That is Krishna and the spiritual world. That is eternal. And then under certain condition, there is a shadow that appears, which is the material world. When there is the sun in the sky, we walk and there is a shadow. Now when there is no sun in the sky, I walk, there is no shadow. But when the shadow is there, it's very much real. It looks very real. So it's not that it's false. It exists. But not always. It is relative. It doesn't exist on its own. It will never be that there is a shadow and there is no object. There can be an object without shadow, but there cannot be the shadow without the object. So this is the nature of this material world. It exists only in relation to a permanent truth. There is a permanent world, and this world is its shadow. In that sense, it exists. Otherwise, it has no basis on its own. And therefore, it is called false. But it's not really false. It's temporary. Now, 34, this is the conclusion of Krishna here, a very strong conclusion that he gives. And Prabhupada has already echoed that conclusion in the previous purport, the end of the purport that we heard, is just do it. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhya jimam namaskuru mame vaishyasi yuktaivam atmanam matparayanaha. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances to me and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. This is Krishna's beautiful words. So this is inviting us to take up Krishna consciousness, to serve Krishna. This verse is repeated twice, at least partially, in the Bhagavad Gita. We will find it again in 1865. Slightly different. The first two lines and half of the third line, Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhya jimam namaskuru mame vaishyasi. This is same, and the rest will be satyam te prachijane priyosime. So two times he will explain this. You will surely come to me. And in the other verse he says, I promise it. I promise this. So Prabhupada explains in this purport here that this means to serve Krishna, the person Krishna, with his transcendental form, and it doesn't mean the spirit within Krishna or something of the kind. That was Gandhi. He wrote a purport on this verse and he said, it is not to Krishna that we have to surrender. It is to the inside, the soul inside Krishna, the Brahman. In other words, guess what? The Brahman. It's the Brahman. So Prabhupada says, no, we have to hear the Bhagavad Gita from a devotee. One who has understood the Bhagavad Gita the way Arjuna understood it. And who has accepted Krishna as he has presented himself without making nuts around it and try to derive some kind of other meaning. So, so there is no difference, Prabhupada explains, between Krishna's inside and outside. It's not like this. This is ignorance. You know, they measure the world like Dr. Frog, according to their self. That in me, there is the self inside and then there is the self outside, so it must be the same with Krishna. So no, it's not like this. Krishna is one. His form, his mind, and himself, all three, it's all same. In fact, not just that, his name, his dharma, his activities, everything, it's all one, all powerful. But we should worship him. We should know this science of Krishna. And which means that we should hear this Bhagavad Gita from the proper source. If we hear it from the proper source, we will do what Krishna says, favorable cultivation of Krishna consciousness. And if we hear from the wrong source, we are going to do unfavorable cultivation, like Kamsa. I don't know from whom he had heard. But he had this asuric nature. He was also thinking of Krishna. He said, while sitting, while walking, while eating, while lying down, or even while sleeping, he was always thinking only one thing, Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. But what was in his heart?
Fear.
Fear. Is the embodiment of fear. He worshipped Krishna, not even worshipped, he actually thought of Krishna in fear and hatred, enmity, fear, enmity, hatred. This was how he remembered Krishna. So this is not what Krishna means when he says, man mana bhava madhvakto madhyaji mamim namaskuru. It means that you do this madbhakta as a devotee with love. You think of me with love. But how, and so how can one cultivate this, how can one do this favorable cultivation, Prabhupada says, it is to learn from a bona fide teacher, bona fide spiritual master. Then we will know, we will take Bhagavad Gita as it is. And first thing is to have faith, just have faith and no fear. Faith in the process, no fear in fall down. Take up Navavida Bhakti, meditate on his transcendental form, fix the mind on the primal form of Krishna with conviction in the heart that Krishna is the Supreme and engage yourself in his worship. Offer obeisances to him, lower your head. forget your ego, engage your mind, body, activities, everything, absorb yourself without deviation, and this will help one being transferred to Krishna Loka. So this is very beautiful. Mm-hmm. One time I remember when I was a devotee for some years, and then I was in full-time devotional service. Sometimes I was serving Krishna, I had taken to Krishna consciousness, and that people, I was always meeting people who was trying to discourage. You know, sometimes it happens. People say, what are you doing there? You know, what is this? You know, what about thinking about your future? What about building up your future, and what will you do? You know, it's very nice. It's okay. You can live at home. You can serve Krishna, or at least you should assure you should have some other means of sustenance, not just this and all. And my mind was reeling, and I was thinking, so many people are telling me the same thing. Maybe they are right. I don't think they are right, but so many people are telling me, come on, you little girl, I was 25, 26, 27, what are you going to do surrendering to Krishna? So, and then I met a devotee who saved my life, a very beautiful devotee who still is with us, fortunately, today. She lives in England. Her name is Kulangana. She's a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, I believe. And she's now very old, I don't know how much, almost 80. And she's still cooking the maha sweets for the Lord. They have, somehow to accommodate her service now, they have redesigned the kitchen because she's so old, so she can't catch anything up. She has to sit and so many things. But she's still cooking the burfi, all the milk sweets for Krishna. And this person, I went to her confidentially and I asked, you know, everybody's saying, you know, you shouldn't do that. You should, you know, think about your future. You should have a stable life. You should da 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 da. What should I do? And she gave me this beautiful, beautiful answer. She said that service to Krishna is a form of austerity. It's a tapasya. You are doing that austerity. So you are serving Krishna. You are engaged 24 hours in serving Krishna. It's an austerity. While doing this, you are building up your bank account. You are building up your transcendental bank account. So keep building the bank account as long as you can. And if one day you can't do that anymore, then you just do something else. But keep, as long as you can, you are on the right track. You're doing what Krishna says, so keep doing it. And if one day you want to change, then you change. There is no harm, but your bank account will stay with you. So this was very nice. And so she said, and then she told me, give me very good advice. She said, when people ask you, so you're gonna do that all your life? So I used to tell them, of course, yes, I'm fully surrendered. So then they used to smash me. So she gave me very good advice. She said, when they ask you, are you gonna do this all your life? You say, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know. Do not, you know, cultivate their doubts or their, you know, arouse some fear in them or something. Just tell them, yeah, I'm doing this for now. And then later on, you see. So I started doing that. Then it was very peaceful. They used to ask me, so, are you going to do that all your life? Oh, maybe not. Oh, okay, okay. That's fine. Nice. Oh. Doing. So we should be convinced and serve Krishna as much as we can. So this means, you know, Whenever we engage in devotional activities, and some of us are trying to do that all the time, some of us are partially doing that. So whenever we engage in the activities of direct devotional service, we should know that now I should put my whole attention into it, my whole sincerity into it, and this is the right thing to do, and I'm building my bank account, and I should do that very well. So Prabhupada says, yes, that, and we should do that without any fear. Okay, so this is the end of this chapter. Very nice. So after lunch, we will begin the other chapter. I wanted to give the overview before we get into it. In the next chapter, there's going to be five different sections. Number 1 to 7, this is chapter 10. It's called Vibhuti Yoga, the opulence, the yoga of the opulence of the Lord, how to connect with Him through all His manifestations in this world. From 1 to 7, Krishna is the origin of everything. We will hear again how Krishna is the source of everything. He is just trying to build our faith in Him. 8 to 11, there will be the Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita. It's a summary of the Bhagavad Gita in which Krishna will again explain pure devotional service and His relationship with His pure devotees. Then from 12 to 18, there will be an important statement, Arjuna's acceptance of Krishna as the Supreme Lord. And on this basis, we follow. Then, 19 to 39, there will be a long description of Krishna's opulences, about 80 of them. And then, 40 to 42, this is part of Krishna's opulence, but Krishna will explain the source of all these opulences. So we'll begin that 10th chapter that time, after the lunch.